Hippie Radio 94.5. Mr. Bojangles, of course, Nitty Gritty Dirt Band there. Sounded so good with my in-studio guest, Mr. John McGeown here. Couple of insights on that song, huh?
Would you like some?
I would. Like, this is the, what, third time you'd ever played mandolin or something like that? What did you say?
This is the second song that I learned on the mandolin.
Second song.
Yeah, and so it kind of pushed me into the mandolin space.
How
for
many
a while.
Instruments do you play, John?
Well, I play on mandolin, fiddle, guitar, banjo, lap slide, dulcimer, a little piano, but I know how to get around on them.
Yeah.
I don't consider myself banjo and guitar are the two main things, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we learned that song. We learned it off a scratchy 45 because we'd been rehearsing for Uncle Charlie 10 hours a day, 6 days a week. And Jeff came into rehearsal one day and said, I heard a song on the radio that sounded perfect for me, but I only heard about half of it. Some song about a guy with a dead dog. And Jimmy Evanson goes, I got that in my car, in my record collection. And the trunk of his Dodge Dart, is his record collection, was 145 under the spare tire. It was Jerry Jeff Walker's Mr. Bojangles.
Wow.
Covered with rust and water. And Jeff cleaned it off and took it in the back room and learned it off the record. Except when he gets to the part on the record, he sings blah, 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 and the smoke ran out. Mm-hmm. We couldn't hear the words good enough. And the actual real words are, he spoke right out.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was the 60s, you know. Well, what's he saying? It must be smoke ran out. Yeah. Yeah, the smoke ran out. Cool. I wonder how they got that in the jail cell. Oh. And Jerry Jeff, when we finally met him a couple years later, we were worried that that would bother him. He goes, still bought my house.
Wow.
You know, he was happy about it.
Let's talk about the documentary. We've been telling people about this throughout the morning, and, of course, we would love to bring this here to Nashville. We're trying
our best.
I hope
that happens.
I do, too. I really do, too. And if that happens, we will definitely let everybody know exactly when and where and all that. But it's called Free to Rock. It debuted up at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame up in Cleveland, and it's been shown at a couple of places. But let's talk about this. Free to Rock, who produced this?
Jim Brown and Doug Yeager in Stas Naman. Stas Naman is like the Bob Seger or Bruce Springsteen of Russia. He's one of the major rock stars and show producers, and his money goes back way far. His family line goes back way far, so they can't stop him. Like, as far back as Stalin, but not Stalin. I can't remember who is. Oh, you know, it's a deep background.
Yeah.
So they can't hold him back, and he wanted to produce this movie about how American music brought down the Iron Curtain. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the government people didn't like it, but it's taken 8 years. And then the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band was the first American group to go to Russia in 1977. For a month, we did 28 shows. They were all sold out, and it wasn't American. It wasn't us. It wasn't Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, because their radio was like farm reports and political stuff. Only one station in each town. And when you bought a radio in Russia, it didn't have a dial to tune the stations. You bought a radio for that frequency in that town.
Wow.
If you moved to another town, you had to buy a different radio.
Talk about control, huh?
That was control.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about, well, what if this Russian defects and moves to New York? He's going to go out and buy 150 radios. You know, but that was the way it was.
Yeah.
And it was an American group that did so well that they didn't let another American group in for 10 years.
Wow.
And when they started coming in, the various rock and roll people that are in this film, it really started bringing down the Iron Curtain. And that's what the movie's about.
Yeah. How much involvement did you play in getting this to happen for the Dirt Band to get over there?
I think the involvement of making it happen was from our audience more than anyone. Mm-hmm. We were just dorks running around the country doing what we do, you know. And then when man smoke ran out, you know, all that stuff. And the Russians were out looking for people unknown to us until we were told there's going to be a group of Russians in the audience tonight. They've been to see you three times already, but they wanted to make one final look.
Yeah.
And the several groups they went to see, they didn't like. And they looked at a lot of people, you know, and
how much of a role did our government play in getting you in there?
Very instrumental in making it happen between Voice of America Radio and the agreements to say, we will bring over the Bolshoi Ballet and then the so-and-so quartet and then your folk ensemble, but you have to bring over an American group.
Mm-hmm.
Not a solo star, but a group that makes
group of people.
Anarchic type of decisions and, you know, a democratic group. you know, in other words, people made
democracy.
Their own decisions.
Right. Democracy.
And something that represented that.
Yeah.
And then it came to be evident that it was us. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting that
it
happened.
Was. You know, I know you get a little emotional about it, and it's rightly so.
At times, yeah.
Yeah, but tell the audience, just so that they can understand
you
fully.
Need to understand that people had things like Bones records in Russia. Music from outside of everything from outside was illegal. It would put you in jail if you had an album that you brought in through the border, a book.
Mm.
An instrument, something from Italy even, you know, you'd be smuggling. Foreign currency was a 3-year jail sentence to be in your possession.
Wow.
If you got caught with pounds or dollars on you, you'd go to jail.
Mm.
And Bones records were where people would go to London or France.
Yeah.
And they'd go get an X-ray film and they'd take a record and they'd cut a copy onto the X-ray film and with their chest X-ray. Or whatever, you know. And then when they went back to Russia, they go, oh, he's nothing but that. Oh, this is just man X-ray. He goes to Paris for X-ray. you know, here, okay, you go through.
Wow.
And then they take the X-ray to their house, and people would set up 4 or 5 recording devices, and they could only play it maybe twice.
And that just shows you how far people will go for the artistic value of the music.
Pete Anderson was a friend that I made in Latvia. His succinct story, I'll try and do it. He played American music. He had a group called the Swamp Shakers, hillbilly. He loved country rock.
Mm-hmm.
He was told to quit playing over the years so many times. His mother was threatened to get fired from her job in Moscow, and his uncle was going to lose his apartment. They beat him up after shows. They beat him up again after shows.
Wow.
He had his first baby, and he'd quit playing for a year and a half, and he went out to a club to see musicians that were friends playing, and they convinced him to get up on stage. He ended up playing an hour. The place went nuts because he was really a good performer.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the hospital the next day, and they go, oh, Mr. Anderson, we're very sorry, but your baby died. Well, can I see the body? It was perfectly healthy. There's nothing wrong when it was born yesterday. And we had already disposed of it. And it ruined him. For many years. Now,
wow.
Fast forward, things changed. American rock came in, American music. Pete Anderson ends up on a stamp in Latvia as a cultural hero.
Unbelievable.
And he died a few months ago, and he was just a wonderful guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the film talking about, you want to play music, here's what we were up against.
Describe the first night you guys played. What'd you see?
The first night we played, I wanted to stay at the concert hall, very beautiful hall. And I said, no, you go to dinner, just bring me some food. Bring me blah, blah, blah. And when the food showed up backstage, it was a bunch of food wrapped up in newspaper. They'd never heard of takeout food. You know, it was like a steak and a fish and all this stuff. Wrapped in the daily paper. And what we saw was an audience that went nuts for something that they'd never really heard the moment we walked on stage. And I've had Russians tell me over the years, you have no idea how to see the, just to see the American musician on stage was incredible.
Yeah.
We had timeshare tickets happen that I didn't know about. You're up there playing and a guy gets up and runs out. A minute later, he comes running back in. He's got a different shirt on. And somebody else gets up and runs out and comes back in. It's happening around the room. In some of the places, people had bought a 20-minute ticket. The three guys get together.
Wow.
Okay, you watch for 20 minutes, and then you come out, and I go sit in your seat.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And one guy said, for instance, I asked somebody, did you ever see the Bolshoi Ballet? He goes, oh, yes, I see Bolshoi 3 years ago. It was so wonderful. It is so, well, have you gone again? Oh, I'd never get another ticket.
Jeez.
I mean, it was a different world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And what about servicemen coming up and kissing the guitar players? What was that all about?
Well, putting their arms around them, playing air guitar. And that was the one of the halls where there was easier access to the stage from the audience. It was a hall, October Revolution Hall in Leningrad, and they could get up on the stage because some of the places were a little more... What was it about was that it was something that was illegal to stand up in a Soviet concert.
Wow.
And people were... We were playing this one show, the bike track in Armenia, 5,000, 6,000 people in the stands. We did five shows there. And the first show, we'd see people... Everybody's looking to the right. Well, we're on stage. They're not looking at us. Oh, then they'd look to the left. It was like the slowest tennis match you'd ever see. And then they'd look to the right. Well, they were looking at somebody standing up that was grooving to the music, you know?
Wow.
And that person would then be made to sit down. And then somebody goes, oh, then somebody else, look, he is standing up. Oh, he's going to jail, maybe.
And, you know, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, and what happened was, by the end of the show, everybody was standing up. And that's captured in this film, the essence of the freedom of the spirit.
Free to rock. Free to rock. To be looking for it. Hopefully we can get it here. I would love to see that happen. Thank you for those stories. Just absolutely amazing. In your career and the Dirt Band's career, Nitty Gritty Dirt Band's career, had Linda Ronstadt around quite a bit, didn't you? Excuse me.
Linda was a friend from the early days of playing the troubadour.
Yeah.
Stone Ponies, different drum.
Right.
And we all wanted her to be successful. We knew she would be, you know. It was very strange. We didn't know. But you didn't know. Again, that nascent press word, nascent thing. Oh, she's really good. But she started making her own records. I was laying on the floor of the studio one night on Ventura Boulevard. And she, I was in the vocal booth just hanging out because she was working on a record. And, you know, you just go hang out at somebody's session. And she comes in, oh, hey, John, I got to do a vocal on this song. I said, oh, I'll leave. She said, no, I'll sing to you. Okay. So she puts on the headphones. I can't hear the track. And she sings, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? And I'm standing, oh, my God. Without the music, this is incredible. You know, mm-hmm. this should be on the radio. She is really good. Despite the fact that she was really good, because of that, radio just sucked her up, you know?
Yeah.
They put that out, it was a giant hit, and people were coming to see her.
Mm-hmm.
Many people came to see her because they knew she didn't wear underwear. But
okay.
when she did the Johnny Cash specials, remember that?
Yes.
Johnny Cash had her on twice.
Mm-hmm.
The story is that one of the country stars said, Linda, I got you some undies, and you need to wear them on the show. I don't know if she did. I gotta ask her. But that's just the way it was then.
She ended up on one of a Nitty Gritty Band's records.
Jeff called her up. We've had it recorded with her several times,
yeah.
and did some benefits in the early 70s where we were the band, and Linda would come out and do a benefit with us to raise money for Indians mm-hmm. in New Mexico and stuff. And a good, nice relationship. Jeff played with Linda Ronstadt for 6 months. No, 4 months in a group called the Corvettes.
Mm-hmm.
During a Dirt Band, I Hate Us. I Hate Us. And so here we are in 1979. He calls her up to come sing on An American Dream, a Rodney Crowell song that
Absolutely.
Rodney had sent to us.
Absolutely. And here it is now on Hippie Radio 94.5. Nashville's greatest hits, Hippie Radio 94.5, Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, and Linda Ronstadt, An American Dream. Good morning. It's Chris on the Hippie Radio Morning Show. Special guest in studio, John McEwen of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. It's 9:24. Interesting.
Nashville's hits, Hippie Radio 94.5. I can't tell the further I can get. I don't know how you do it.
it's too many years of being in the business, John. That's what it is. But a very interesting story about that song. I interviewed Jeff Hanna for you guys' 50th ever at the Ryman. And when we're finished, Jeff goes, hey, wait a minute. I want to tell you something. I said, okay. I wish I had kept the full recording. I may have it somewhere. But he goes, I listen to your radio station, and I love it. He goes, and you play Mr. Bojangles. He said, but you know what? He said, you guys are missing one. And I'm like, which one? He goes, American Dream is a top 10 hit for us. Why aren't you playing it? I said, well, you know what, John? Let me research that. I'll get right on that. And sure enough, boom, we have it back in the playlist. So,
well, that's good.
So cool. We will come right back, and we're going to talk about a new project that John's in the process of doing himself as a solo and get some information on that and then cut him loose. And we've just had a great time here this morning with John McEwen from the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band from Hippie Radio 94.5. Men,